We left off last time with this spot in Romans 6:5, talking about trees, that phrase planted together. And the Greek word there, it's in the 48:54, it's synthukos. And it speaks of our oneness with Christ in the likeness of his death. And this word, again, I realize this is a little drawn out, but this word doesn't denote simply homogeneousness. And that's a big, long, 75-cent word. It means the quality of being similar or comparable in kind, nature, or uniformity. It's the quality of lacking diversity or variation, even to the point of a word. So some two things that are so similar there. So this Greek word doesn't merely denote this, but it also denotes a similarity of experience. Any of you that have ever been around, I've grown up with, or maybe had some experience with identical twins, and they were so identical, they, maybe not all the time, but occasionally maybe they loved to dress alike, and they practiced one another's mannerisms just to play with people, so that when you saw them, you couldn't necessarily tell which one was which. Okay? That's the thought here. Two, they're so similar that you can't tell them apart. What those twins didn't have, though, that we have in the Lord, is the similarity of experience. No matter how closely those twins live together, they would never have the exact same experience. Okay? We have, or will have, when we're ready to be taken, we will have the experience of what the Lord went through in his death and resurrection. Will we be nailed to a cross? Probably not. Okay? But the similarity of experience will be there. And I was reminded, as I thought about this a year or so ago, those of you that are familiar with that song, The Grace and Glory, Gethsemane, there's a phrase in the fourth verse, Gethsemane's life waits a crown. Through the depths is the way of attaining. And I thought as I read that, the Lord kind of shone the spotlight on that. I felt him asking me a question. How deep are you willing to let me take you? Okay? And I think some of us, if not all of us in here, have been taken pretty deep sometimes. Yeah. So we know that this is, and you think about, again, about John. Tom mentioned it in class this morning. Twice in Revelation, you know, John says, oh, hi, Jesus. Wait a minute, you're not Jesus. He didn't know that.
Yeah.
But again, you think of that person, I'm not going to say entity or anything else, that person that was leading John around, not just the physical appearance, but everything about that person, told John that was the Lord. Okay? So that's how close this synmorphos, this being planted together, is. Okay? All right, let's have somebody go to Psalm 119. Someone to John chapter 13. Someone to Luke chapter 7. Someone to Ephesians 5. Now, we noted, I think, that in Jeremiah 17, trees need some things. The first thing trees need is water. Okay? Jeremiah 17, it tells us that the tree that the Lord plants, the tree that's healthy and prosperous, if you will, the spiritual saints, is planted by the rivers of water. Okay? So whoever's in Psalm 119, verse 9.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Okay. When was the last time anybody in here cleaned themselves with a handful of dry dirt? No? That work too good, does it? How about handling the mud? What do we clean ourselves with? Okay, all right. John 13, where is there verse 10?
Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all.
Okay. Jesus said, I just need to wash your feet. To his disciples, I need to wash your feet. Why? Because as they walked along the roads that weren't paved around there, even if they had sandals on, their feet got dirty. Okay? Now, in Luke 7, where is there, verse 44?
For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of.
Is that 744?
No.
Luke?
I was in 6th. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head.
Okay, then in chapter 15, Carrie. What did Jesus say to Simon? You haven't given me any mud to wash my feet.
Water
is what we need to wash. Okay. Luke 15, Carrie, verse 3.
And he spake this parable unto them, saying.
Nope, that's.
What man of.
Is that not 15? Is that 15:3?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, but
that was it.
Well, go ahead and read it again, sweetie.
This is where Jesus is speaking.
Yeah.
What man of you, having a friend in prison, that's the whole thing.
Okay, Ephesians 5, we're observed verse 26.
That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word.
Ah, so here's where it's tied together. We wash with water. The word is the water of the new man. Okay? So, trees need water. In other words, they need this. Okay? If trees are righteousness, we need this. Okay. The second thing that trees need, if somebody would go to Matthew 13, someone to Luke 8, if whoever gets to Matthew 13, verse 19. And Luke 8, whoever's there, verses 5 through 15.
The sower went out to sow his seed, and as the sowed, some fell by the way, and it was burned down, and the hollows of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit and hundredfold.
Keep going through 15. Doing good.
And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And he and his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto you, "It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not hear or understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, and lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground that are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring it forth fruit with patience.
Okay. Now in both these portions, twice here in Luke chapter 8, what does the soil represent?
Heart?
Well, we're talking about the word again.
The soil.
That's good.
Okay.
The person themselves.
What's it represent? Okay. It says right there. Twice in Luke, once in Matthew. What's the soil?
Heart.
The heart. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Now, notice concerning the heart.
Oh, the soil is the heart. Okay.
First of all, notice in verse 8, he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, Jesus was talking to a group of people, just like I am. Wouldn't that have been pretty stupid for him to be talking about natural ears? I think everybody there probably had at least one. Okay? So he wasn't talking about hearing like we hear sounds. He's talking about the ears and the heart. Okay? Also, notice that in verse 13, the rock, that which falls on the rock. Have you ever seen a seed fall on a rock and it gets rained on and the sun comes out and a little seed goes beep and then boom and it's all ready to go? But then the sun stays out and goes okay, it springs up. But why does it not?
No roots.
What?
No roots.
Good. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay. All right, so water. We've looked at water, and we've looked at the heart. If you think about soil, what Todd brought out again in Jeremiah 17, and what we made mention of last week. In order for a tree to grow and mature and have fruit, it has to be had water, it has to be planted in good soil. Okay? And we brought out, as most of you I'm sure know, much of the richest soil in the world is found around rivers. Why is that? Because the water brings the sediments which contain the nutrients in. And it makes for a very rich ground. How many of you have ever heard of loam?
Yeah, sure.
Loam is a mixture of sand, clay, and what we would call humus, organic matter. Okay. How many of you are composters? What are you doing? You're taking organic matter and recycling it into the soil. How many of you in here mulch? That's what you do with your compost. You mix it into the ground to reinvigorate the ground, as it were. So when you go to Ephesians 2, and whoever gets there, verses 14 through 22.
For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay. Notice in verses 19 through 22, Paul is talking about building. He's talking about framing. Those of you that are carpenters in here. We frame with wood, or we used to frame exclusively with wood. Where does wood come from?
Trees.
Okay. Now, think about what we said about the soil. How many of you have ever gone to a real heavily forested place up in, even in our mountains, where have anybody in here ever seen little wild strawberries growing on the ground? And usually when you get around that kind of soil, when you step in it, you sink about 2 or 3 inches. Have you noticed that? And if you reach down and pick it up and flip it over, it's black. What's it full of?
Nutrients.
Humus. The decaying matter from previous plants. Very nutrient rich. Pine needles, leaves, whatever. Now, what does Paul say here? We're built, in verse 20, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Those lives that went before us have fertilized the ground that you and I are planting.
Yes.
It's not a concrete foundation. It's a foundation of the lives of God that live before us. That's what makes it so fertile. We go back and we look, our pastor spoke about it this morning, we go back and we look at a Daniel or a Joseph. What does that do to your heart?
It encourages us, doesn't it?
Yeah. It encourages us to go back and look at those lives that are part of the foundation, that compose, if you will, the foundation for our lives. Okay? And that brings us to the next part. Somebody can go to Ephesians 3 and someone to Colossians 2. So it gets to Ephesians 3, verse 17.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love.
In Colossians 2, verses 10 and 7.
Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Okay, that brings us to the third thing that trees have to have. The root. What does the root represent? What does it speak of? We're going back and we're looking into the lives of those who went before us. And looking in there and studying that encourages my heart. What's happening?
They believe
it starts with an F and ends with a TH.
That's what you said.
The root represents faith.
Speak up, shut it up, shut it up.
Now you understand why a tree needs a root system at least as big as what's above the ground. Alright? And there's so much in this thought of the roots. The roots do two things at least. They physically anchor the tree. And if you think about that in our lives, our roots spiritually anchor us. We won't, if we have good roots, i.e. deep, and a lot of them, we won't be easily shaken. So they physically anchor the tree, and they serve as the conduit through which the tree seeks out and gathers water and nutrients. Now you see why that rock, that little thing springs up thinking, oh boy, and then it goes, because there's no place for its roots to go. It's sitting on a rock. And if you were paying attention again when our pastor spoke this morning, or maybe it was Wednesday night, he talked about breaking up your fallow ground. You can't grow things on a rock. It's impenetrable. Mm-hmm. You've got to have soil. And if you want healthy trees and fruitful trees, it's got to be rich soil. You won't find any richer soil than this right here. But think about, again, the thought of our foundation. The apostles and prophets and Jesus himself that form the soil that we're planted in. Do you understand now, or does this kind of show you why so many people, I shouldn't say people, so many saints either never bear any fruit or they bear very little fruit? They're not planted in the right soil. Okay? And our pastor brought this out again. You can study, teach, preach this all your life. But if your roots are not going down into the apostles and prophets who did not believe in the insecurity of the believer, who were not legalists, and if that's what you are, your roots can't go in there. You're rejecting it. So this explains in one way why so many people never have any fruit. Because they're not putting their roots down. Because the soil that the Lord would root them in, they just, that can't be. So they don't grow. They're in stony ground or on a rock or something like that. But this is the rich, again, this is the richest soil in the world.
You're stuck
down there. This is the richest soil in the world. And because it's that way, look what it's produced through the years. It's produced an Abraham, an Enoch, a Moses, a Joshua, a Daniel, a Joseph, an Isaiah, Jeremiah, a Luke, a Paul. Because it put the roots down in the rich soil. And that's what we want to do with our roots, with our faith. We want it to be in the rich soil, the truth that the apostles and prophets all stood for. Okay? And again, look at how marvelously the Lord, if you will, composts his garden. There's not a single legalist or person who doesn't believe in eternal security in him. He took that kind of care in composting the soil that he wants us to grow up in. James?
I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself. It just keeps coming to my mind, you know, when I was a little boy at school, they used to use words like photosynthesis, all that, and light. My question is this, Brother Scott. Well, like plants, you know, going from the natural to the spiritual, and same up, trees of righteousness. In this scripture, the word light, it says if we walk in the light. And I know trees have to have light.
Absolutely.
And my question is this, and the way you're bringing it out, I'm right there with you. As far as what trees need and the righteous seed. The word fellowship. What I'm asking is, in order to bear fruit, I mean, you're only. And for a tree to bear fruit, does it have to have fellowship? I know it has to have fellowship in life. I know it sounds rhetorical. But when it comes to producing, I know the essentials. You got, but what is fellowship? A light as far as the word fellowship fitting as far as fruitfulness. I can see it.
You've been sneaking a look at my notes.
Yeah.
No, that's why I didn't want to see it.
He's the head of your notes. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh, dear. Okay. So, not only does the tree grow above ground, it grows below. The roots have to grow. Okay? And again, in that parable, he talked about there in Luke 8 that Terry read, he talked about plants that died because they had no root, no faith. And again, you can make this thing in one sense your life, but if you don't have, and our pastor spoke about it again this morning, if you don't have truth in love, grace through faith, your roots aren't going anywhere. Okay? There's only one soil that will produce growth. And it's called here, and again, Ephesians 20, the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Amen.
That rich soil of those, just like in the mountains or anywhere else, what makes one of the things that makes the soil so rich is the presence of the decomposing plants that were there previously. And that's what we have in this foundation of the lives. Why do you think the Lord bothered to record their lives, the intimate details of their lives? I mean, who cares if Daniel didn't want to eat Nebuchadnezzar's meat and wanted stewed vegetables instead? Why would that detail be in there? Okay? It's those type of things that make the soil so rich.
Yes.
And our roots come to that, and we drive down, and it grows that way. And that's how we get such a big root system. Speaking of root systems and trees, at least since the time that I was a kid, and probably before that, Tyler, then, you know, you always read in the encyclopedias and the science books, in the biology section, you know, the largest living creature is the blue whale. 90 some odd tons, Joe, I think, right? Right?
Yes.
They discovered about 20 some odd years ago, it's not the largest living creature. The largest living creature is a grove of aspen trees somewhere in the western U.S., I'm not sure. Is it here?
It's in Canada.
Canada? Aspen trees grow by sending out roots, and then those roots pop up. And this grove covers, I think, is it hundreds of acres?
1,300 miles.
1,300 miles. Wow. Largest living single organism on the planet in terms of physical size is a tree, is a group of trees. And it's all because of their root system. Okay? Now, think about that in terms of the fact of what Paul talked about there in Ephesians. Being knit together.
Yes.
Our roots intertwine.
Unity.
In fact, they're intertwining right now. Because we're sharing these things. And we see in the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, and you go, oh, wow, I never saw that before. And guess what? Your roots intertwine with mine and with other people's. And it's all one big living organism called the body of Christ.
Yes.
Okay. Now, it's interesting also, if somebody go to Matthew 12, some of the Psalm 1, some of the 2 Corinthians 4, it's interesting how much the fruit reflects the nutrients that are taken in. Okay? Verses in Matthew 12, verses 33 through 35.
Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things.
Okay. Key phrase there being a tree is known by its fruit. And the tree can't help what's in the soil. It was planted there and started growing there. So it has no power or ability to, if you will, improve its condition. You and I, on the other hand, have a choice. We can choose to root ourselves in truth. I've always loved bananas. Love bananas.
It is.
But it's funny because starting about 10 or 12 years ago, my wife would bring home bananas, and I'd wait for them to ripen up to where I like them. And I'd take a bite out of one, and the stinking thing just tasted flat. It just wasn't the same as it was, you know, what I remember as a kid. Now, I'm not a scientist, I don't know, but here's what my suspicion is. They've been harvesting those bananas out of those trees for how many decades? And you think those farmers in different parts of the world are bothering to mulch or put dead stuff back in the ground to revitalize those trees?
No.
The trees are running out of nutrients, and that's why they don't taste like they used to, as rich as they used to. We've harvested them, like I said, for decades, but we're not taking care of the soil. We're not renewing them, okay? And think about that word, renewing. Psalm 1, where it was there, the first three verses.
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16.
Verse 3.
Come on,
and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
In his season.
Okay. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Planted by the rivers of water.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4, verse 16.
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day.
And if some of you go to Ephesians 4, some to Colossians 3, and some to 2 Peter 3. And whoever gets to Ephesians 4, verse 23.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind.
Colossians 3, verse 10.
And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him.
Okay. And you notice in just about all those verses that word renewed pops up. It doesn't mean this gets old or stale. But we need the continual renewal of study, prayer, and fellowship, James.
Yeah, well. Amen. Okay.
Those of you that are gardeners and planters, what's one of the things you do every year out that you go out and do before you plant?
Fertilize.
Yeah.
Turn the soil.
Oh, turn the soil in.
Yeah. Okay. It's called a rototiller.
Okay. Okay.
They used to use horses and plows. You turn the soil. Okay. That's the renewing that goes on. 2 Peter 3, where was there, verse 18?
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, but just for the unjust,
Joey, you need to fill her in. She has no idea how many verses I've talked about.
A grow in grace and knowledge and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.
Okay. Grow in grace and knowledge. And I would simply point out to you, I kind of threw that scripture in here because it came to mind. That word and there, grace and knowledge, a Greek word kai, K-A-I, it also means even. So Peter could be saying, grow in grace, even the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an and, there's not two things there. Jesus is full of grace and truth. So if you grow in knowledge, you're growing in him. Okay, that's the one place your roots are going to find any sustenance. All right. Now, let's have somebody go to Revelation 22, someone back to John 15. Now, some markets in the world, and ours, and many in this country are one of them, some markets are able to enjoy a variety of fruits throughout the year. And this is because the fruits they get are grown and harvested from different areas of the world at different times. When the northern hemisphere can't be producing, i.e. winter, the southern hemisphere is. And we get the advantage of having virtually any fruit, vegetable we want all year long because of that. Okay? So these fruits mature at different times of the year, at least from our local perspective, and thus they're made available outside of their local seasons, okay? What might be an off-season in the northern hemisphere is no big deal to us because we're getting produce from the southern hemisphere, Okay, it's out of season here right now, but we still get it. Where is it in Revelation 22, verse 2?
In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
Okay, there's a tree we're going to see someday, maybe partake of. It bears fruit all the time. There's no seasons, no winter. Okay? Now, the fruit of the Spirit in us is potentially available continually because Jesus abides in us. And if you remember that word abide, it's that Greek word meno. And among other things, it means how the Father is said to be in the Son. That's how close they are to abide in one another, to be fitly compacted together.
Amen.
Okay? Jesus abides in us. As does the Holy Ghost, if we've been filled with Him. But if we are not abiding in Him and in Him, we will feel the lack in our walk. And it will show. Where is in John 15, the first 8 verses again?
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Okay, three things to take away from that portion in this instance. First of all, Jesus abides in you. He minnows in you. Alright? Join together. But in that portion, he also says that people may not be abiding in him. Doesn't mean they're not saved. They're not abiding. And the third thing, he goes on to encourage us, abide in me. I'm abiding in you regardless, but abide in me. That's the only way you'll bear much fruit. Okay? All right. Romans 5. Let's have somebody go there. And someone Romans 5. Someone to Jude 20. Someone to Ephesians 3. Someone else to Philippians 1. And someone to Hebrews 10. And whoever gets to Romans 5, the first 5 verses.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Okay. Now, do you see in this portion a progression? In verse 5, or verse 1, Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many believers even get through verse 1?
That's right.
It's conditional. They never get through verse 1. Verse 2. How many believers that make it through verse 1 understand the access by faith into the grace that you and I know about and rejoice in the glory that's being offered to us? Many of them never get through verse 2. Verse 3. How many that might see that glory realize that through the depths is the way of attaining? Verse 4, patience, experience, and experience hope. You're not going to have any patience if your roots aren't in this. How many saints get to verse 4? Verse 5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. How many saints get to verse 5? If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not there.
That's right.
And if you're not walking in love, truth and grace, you're not there. There is a tremendous progression in those first 5 verses. Okay? Romans 15. If whoever just read that, Romans 15, verse 13.
Now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Some time back, I wrote a little note in connection with this verse. I said, this verse explains why individuals can have a lack of fruit in their lives. If there's no joy and hope, and joy and peace in believing, where's the fruit going to be? Okay. All right. Jude 20, whoever's there, verse 20 and 21.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Now, I count at least 4 things in there. Again, things that we must have, that we must be pursuing if we're going to have His best. You see them there, Bill? Read it again for us.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life.
You see more there?
Faith, mercy, love.
Okay.
Building up yourselves.
Well, how about building yourself up?
Yeah.
How do I build myself up? I drive my roots in.
Pray.
Where do roots come from? Where do roots come from?
Faith.
No, where do they come from?
The word.
Feeding on.
Where does faith come from?
Hearing.
And that doesn't mean just physical hearing. That means me getting in there.
Yeah.
Okay? And tearing it apart. Okay? Paul, as I said, thank you, Joe, last Sunday morning, Paul didn't say, Timothy, skim the Word of God.
No.
He didn't say, Timothy, read the Word of God.
No.
You know, there are so many programs out there. Go through the Bible in a year.
Yeah, right.
If I want to eat cardboard for a year, I'll do that. What did Paul say?
Study.
Dissect it.
Yes.
Open it up and look at it. Study if you want to be approved. Okay? All right. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but this is just so fun. Ephesians 3, whoever's there, verses 16 through 20.
Nevertheless, worked. Two we have already attained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many a walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
Who is 3:16 through 20.
3:16 through 20?
Yes. Philippians, yeah.
No, Ephesians.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've got. I'm sorry, sorry, Carrie. I'm so sick. No. Well, that's a good scripture, anyways. Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. Okay. Senior moment. It's all right.
Yes.
Okay. So Ephesians 3:16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Know unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's from 20.
Okay. So then in chapter 5, did you notice in that portion? Rooted in love.
Yeah.
There isn't any rooting in anything else. Okay? In chapter 5, Hagen, verse 18.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. Philippians 1, whoever's there, verses 9 through 11.
And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God.
Oh my goodness. You want to be filled with the fruits of righteousness? You've got to be rooted in love. There's no other root. Hebrews 10, where it was there, verse 22.
Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water.
Okay. True heart, full of faith, full of roots. And finally, in closing tonight, you may recall the phrase, one of the verses, I believe it's number 12 in the Grace and Glory. If you still don't quite see this, the question is asked, do you feel the lack of power in your toil and trying hour? Is the load breaking down your bark? So, hope it was a blessing.